This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Many developed countries export their recyclable plastic in large amounts to other countries to process, Malaysia being one of them. Though we have since banned the import of plastic scrap, the official definition of plastic scrap remains vague, and the ban also did not halt unregulated or poorly regulated burning and dumping activities of plastic. So it's no secret that the global plastic recycling market is in need of a major overhaul. But what are the long-term effects of a broken recycling system, and what would an overhaul of the system actually look like? So I'm going to discuss this and more with Magaswari Sangaralingam, a senior research officer at the Consumers Association of Penang and the honorary secretary of Sahabat Alam Malaysia. Welcome, Magis. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Juliet.
Thanks so much for joining us. So, you know, just to get straight to it, I think it was back in 2018 when China banned the import of plastic waste, right? And shipments of plastic waste have been rerouted to Southeast Asian countries, right? Following that ban in China, and that included Malaysia. Maybe people don't remember, but so can you remind us about the issue of plastic waste coming from industrialized countries and sort of engulfing the communities in Southeast Asia, including right here in Malaysia?
Yeah, okay. Since China closed its doors to plastic waste imports in the beginning of 2018, the global plastic recycling industry was really thrown into chaos. It just revealed the true cause of our rampant consumption, the issue of plastic production, and then there's also the influx of single-use plastics where people use and just dispose, as well as the problems and limitations of the global recycling system. Because they were thinking, okay, we are sending our waste for recycling and this will solve the plastic problem. But then, since China closed its doors, all these big plastic waste exporters, especially US and Europe, they started diverting to other shores, especially to Southeast Asia. So Malaysia, Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand and Vietnam, we found that there was a lot of waste that was coming into our countries. And some of it was not properly regulated. And so we received waste that were not safe for recycling or can be recycled economically. And all these waste came into our countries under the pretext of recycling. So the waste that entered our countries, they which it also included mixed plastic waste, unrecyclable plastic waste, or plastic waste that was significantly contaminated with other waste, including some hazardous waste, or it contained toxic additives that make safe recycling impossible. So this was what was plaguing our communities in Southeast Asia.
So how did Malaysia respond to this particular practice?
Okay, the community in Jinjarum, Kuala Langat, beginning from 2018, they found that a lot of these illegal plastic recyclers were starting to mushroom in their surrounding area, especially in the remote agriculture area. And then there were also dump sites and open burning happening at those sites. And they started writing letters to the authorities. And at first, they were not really looked into by the authorities. But when the issue was highlighted and publicized in the local and international media, the government started taking action. So the international media included BBC, CNN, CBC, 60 Minutes Australia's video. So really highlighted the problem. So what the government did was first started taking action on this issue. In July 2018, the government imposed a temporary ban of plastic waste imports. And then in October 2018, the government announced a permanent ban on importing plastic waste by 2021. That was what the government had mentioned. But then what it realistically is, the government still allows imports with approved permits, but with strict conditions imposed on the importers and the exporters. So among the requirement is the waste has to be clean and homogeneous waste from industrial and post-consumer sources. Then the authorities also raided and shut down illegal factories. This was during the ministry, MESTEC, environment. They also began repatriating or sending back contaminated mixed plastic waste to more than 20 countries. So it really showed the sign that Malaysia is also determined to tackle the illegal trade in plastic waste.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I think we all remember seeing those, you know, huge headlines of the then minister, YB Yobin, you know, sending back and saying, you know, don't make Malaysia your illegal dumping ground, you know, all of that, right? That was really huge. And you mentioned Jinjarum, and I think it was about 2 years ago, right, that the alarm on these illegal dump sites and burning facilities that suddenly cropped up, you know, in several parts of Malaysia, you know, that's when the alarm bells were triggered. Are we still finding such dump sites here?
Yeah, so when the government was really clamping down on those illegal recyclers in Selangor, because we not only in Jinjarum, there was in Klang, Port Klang, what the illegal recyclers did that they started moving to other locations. And then the illegal activities moved to Penang, Sungai Petani, and also other remote areas. Yeah? Recently, in the State Legislative Assembly sitting in October, the Penang government said they have identified 11 plastic recycling factories which are operating illegally in Seberang Perai. This is the mainland of Penang. And then the communities in Sungai Petani also, they have been complaining of noxious, toxic smell in the air, especially at night or early in the morning. And we have also received cases of illegal dump sites which caught fire in Penang, Kedah, and still, it's still happening in Selangor also. So in terms of other states, this could still be happening. And there's also, because there was a clampdown in the more stringent enforcement action in the ports in Klang, what happened is that the smugglers or the exporters were actually now sending the containers of waste to Penang Port, Kuching Port, and also probably in Johor also.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And, you know, I'm just curious, Margis, are there any conventions, you know, global conventions that sort of govern or you know, help to curb the export of plastic waste such as this?
Yeah, we have the International Basel Convention on the control of transboundary movements of hazardous waste and their disposal. So it was agreed in April, May 2019 when they had their last meeting of parties, conference of parties, that there's a new rule to require exporters to secure prior informed consent agreement from importing countries for shipments of all but a narrow set of non-hazardous plastic waste. So the plastic waste that is exempted from control must be sorted. They should be halogen-free and free from contamination. And it should also be destined for environmentally sound recycling. Yeah? So these new rules will come into force in January 2021. What this essentially means is that if you are going to export waste that is not clean or homogeneous, plastic waste that is not clean or homogeneous, then the exporter will have to require PIC from the importing countries.
What does PIC mean, sorry?
Prior informed consent.
Prior informed consent. Okay, all right. Yes. And I guess this is a global convention. So this is something that everyone automatically adopts, you know, for somebody who doesn't quite understand how these conventions work.
Yes, also only the parties in the convention. So one major issue is US is not a party to Basel Convention.
Is Malaysia a party to it?
Yes, Malaysia is a party to the Basel Convention and also the ban amendments. So the Malaysian government is already starting to transpose what is required for the convention, in terms of the plastic waste amendments.
Okay, all right. I'm speaking today to Margiswari Sangarilingam. She is a senior research officer at the Consumers Association of Penang. She's also honorary secretary at Sahabat Alam Malaysia. And we're discussing, well, you know, plastic everywhere. We're discussing whether it can be recycled, whether that's a myth, and, you know, how we can move forward towards a plastic-free future. And we're going to continue that discussion after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Margiswari Sangarilingam. She is a senior research officer at the Consumers Association of Penang. She's also an honorary secretary at Sahabat Alam Malaysia. And we're discussing, well, the plastic problem that is plaguing basically, you know, every corner of this of our earth. And, you know, earlier before the breaks, Margis, you were talking about the Basel Convention. And just moving from that, you know, many developed countries, Australia included, right, they export their recyclables in large amounts to other countries to process, right? We mentioned that. And what impact did that have, particularly on Malaysia?
Yeah, as I mentioned just now, if the waste that is coming in, plastic waste that is coming in, is clean and also homogeneous, then there may not be an issue because we do have the plastic recyclers here. But the challenge is some of the plastic waste that were imported or smuggled in some of it cannot be recycled. Imagine all your sachets, yeah, the dirty plastic bags, or you have your packaging which is still contaminated. So this really non-recyclable plastic, or it could be dirty waste, contaminated, or plastic that is of low value or too expensive to recycle. So it doesn't make sense for us to recycle. And also, these consignments, they have to be sorted and then separated. And so this is really labor-intensive job, yeah? And besides it is costly and also environmentally destructive. So when there is air pollution, it will also impact our communities, yeah? Our public health is jeopardized.
Yeah, and I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these places, where this recycling was happening was, you know, sort of outskirts, you know, where we won't really see it, you know, and like it could perhaps impact communities who are perhaps maybe not well off or, you know, don't really have a say in these things, right?
Yeah, especially it's like in the case of Jinjarum, you could see that most of this waste was being the illegal recyclers set up in remote plantation areas where you can't see what is the operation going on. Mm-hmm. So the Persatuan Tindakan Alam Sekitar Kuala Langat, Environmental Protection Action Group in Kuala Langat, they actually went around looking for the where is that smell coming from, where is that smoke is coming from, and they found all these waste dump sites.
Right. Yeah, that's terrible. And just last month as well, Margis, you know, the Australian government's recycling and waste reduction bill was actually progressing through the Australian Parliament. Can you just help explain what this bill was designed to address exactly?
Okay, the bill was created in response to the Australian Prime Minister's announcement and their decision to ban Australian waste exports following China's national SWOT policy. Mm-hmm. So the bill supposedly addresses two main issues: product stewardship and the legislative framework for the waste export ban. So it was also intended to support the Australian recycling sector.
Okay. And I know that, you know, despite, I mean, it sounds pretty good, right? It sounds all good on paper, but I do understand that many international groups have come out to condemn the bill. Can you walk me through the reasons for this?
Yeah, at a closer look at the bill, we found that regulated waste material may still be exported if it meets conditions prescribed by their rules. Mm. So this essentially can mean that Australia may continue to export mixed waste by reprocessing it and then saying that this is a fuel product. Okay. And so the bill does not really... I have also checked with my colleague in Australia. So... And she was mentioning that this bill does not provide the necessary support and legislative framework that the recycling sector actually needs in Australia. Yeah, and the Australian Parliament also failed to support the single-use plastic ban or mandatory recycling targets, which is needed if you want to move towards a zero waste management model or address the plastic pollution. Mm. Yeah, and of significant concern is that the failure of the bill to recognize and exclude the threat of waste to energy incineration.
Of course. That's
so
one.
Because if you see, even if the waste is being brought to Malaysia, what happens to the waste that cannot be recycled?
Yeah,
it actually ends up in incinerators. And from the illegal recyclers, they had actually come up with crude incinerators, just like burning the waste in a tank kind of thing.
Oh my goodness!
So this is really, really bad.
Yeah, and that, of course, has severe environmental and health impacts, right, to anybody who's in the area.
Yeah, because of the waste itself, the plastic has toxic additives. Mm. And then when you burn it, you may have dioxins and furans and also other poisonous gases in the air.
Yeah, and I know that you also had some concerns about the bill, right, for Malaysia in particular.
Yes. Previously, what we saw in 2019... our neighbouring country, Indonesia, also had really bad experience from the exports of Australian waste. We also have had bad experience from the export of Australian waste. You know, the 60 Minutes video just showed when our minister opened up the containers, there was mixed and contaminated dirty waste in the container, which was supposed to be just clean plastic waste. Yeah.
Mm.
So that is one issue. But if the waste is being processed and repackaged as fuel, such as processed engineered fuels, this may be contaminated with hazardous waste. So when we are bringing it into Malaysia, and if Australia is dumping their residual waste and packaging it as a fuel, we would also still be succumbing to all these toxic emissions from the combustion of this waste, probably in the cement kilns or anywhere else. Yeah.
Right.
So Australia is actually disguising their mixed dirty plastic waste as fuels. So that's what we are feeling, that it will also concern us in Malaysia and also the other developing countries.
And what is the current status of this bill? I mean, last month it was being discussed in the Australian Parliament. What is the status now?
Okay, it has just been passed both in both houses of parliament, and it will be enacted soon. So our counterpart there, we are part of this Global Anti-Incinerator Alliance and also International Pollutants Elimination Network.
Mm-hmm.
So our counterpart in Australia, which is a Zero Waste Australia campaign coordinator, Ms. Jane Bremer, she's with the National Toxics Network. She issued a statement on 8th of December, raising concerns that the Australian government did not prevent the perverse outcomes associated with Australia's waste export ban. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they had also looked into the national policy documents in Australia. It confirms that the government intends to support the reprocessing of waste for continued export and incineration.
Okay. Yeah? Okay.
So this was also, it also supports the incineration in Australia itself.
Right. So it's going to have very far-reaching consequences, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah.
Because we are not only worried about our country, the citizens of our country, it's also the citizens in all other countries. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you still continue this way of looking into your consumption and disposal.
And how is the Alliance, responding to this? I mean, is there anything more that, you'd like maybe public support, for example, towards this bill?
In Australia, we cannot do much now because it's already, they had tried, even the other parties had tried, also the NGOs, but it just didn't work out.
Right.
But in the internationally, we have been looking into working on legislations like in EU. So our group, the Gaia and IPEN, and also other Break Free from Plastic movement,
mm-hmm.
we're looking into all those policies in the developed countries, for instance, in EU.
Okay. All right. And I guess, Magis, for someone who doesn't quite get it, can you very plainly lay it out for us, what is the impact of these plastic wastes flowing into communities like ours from developed countries?
Okay. Like as I mentioned just now, Malaysia has imposed conditions that plastic waste, which is being imported, should only be from industrial facilities or post-consumer waste that are homogeneous. Homogeneous means it's like single type of plastic, and clean. Okay. But evidence on the ground, it shows that there is plastic waste leakage or mismanagement in receiving countries like in Malaysia. And there's also the issue of illegal trade and smuggling by the organized crime.
Mm.
And then the waste that is coming in is also misdeclared of the type of waste that is coming in or the destination, or there's also this transshipment. So all this is already documented by the Interpol and also the Malaysian customs. Yeah. So the waste that actually ending up here is practically something like dumping, and it impacts our public health and the environment. The environment is true, not only through air pollution when it's being burnt, but also water pollution, because you have to clean all these dirty plastics, so it pollutes our waterways, and also soil pollution, our wildlife and crops, and then there is also the issue of who is going to be responsible for the cleanup. We have seen all these illegal dump sites. Who is cleaning it up? Who is paying for the cleanup? And then is there also an environmentally sound management system here to deal with this residual waste that cannot be recycled? So these are a lot of issues. And then we are saying, why should we be burdened to clean up somebody else's trash? At the same time, also jeopardize our public health and the environment.
Exactly. I think, there's that myth, right, that which developed countries have that, I'm recycling my waste and therefore it's fine to keep consuming plastic products or, sachets or whatever it is, non-reusable products, right? Because it's going to get recycled. But I mean, many like yourself have said that recycling plastic waste is just simply not enough. Does the global plastic recycling market need a major overhaul?
Yes, of course. You see, ultimately, you're tackling plastic waste trade and also this waste recycling. It requires a solid commitment by everyone to reduce waste in the first place. This is possible. A lot of them are saying, oh, no, this is actually impossible and all that. But No, we can still do it. There are already like zero waste initiatives locally in Malaysia. In a lot of towns, they've already started this zero waste initiatives. Mm. Also at the regional level, which shows that reducing waste is actually feasible. Yeah. Mm. And then we're also looking into solutions such as product and packaging reutilization. Yeah, you don't use plastic waste, you use some other packaging. And then there's also a concept of note packaging. You bring your own bags or containers and then you purchase. Yeah, mm-hmm. So you don't have to, and refill. Mm. Yeah, so if there is really bad packaging, then you redesign. The manufacturer should redesign the packaging. And also, there's the extended producer responsibility. Most importantly, there should be a behavioral change among us consumers. Mm. We should be transforming our consumption habits. And then we should also be mindful on what we purchase and use. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is still room for recycling, but it has to be safe recycling. So this also we have to look into a lot of overhaul, yeah, in the whole plastic recycling market and also the plastic production.
Okay. And you know, I remember reading, I just remembered that an analysis of Asia's worst ocean polluters actually showed that Malaysians are the biggest individual consumers of plastic packaging. And this was a report by WWF. And, you know, I remember them urging, you know, the government to limit single-use plastics and you know, work with companies to fund the recycling push. I remember that happening as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just going back to what you were saying earlier, you know, what are the long-term effects of this broken recycling system?
Yeah, as I mentioned just now, yeah, and you have also mentioned, the public is encouraged to reduce, reuse, recycle,
yeah,
in a bid to clean up the country or minimize waste that is ending up in the landfill. Mm. Yeah, mm. So a lot of us diligently, not only in Malaysia, like most of the industrialized countries, they separate their plastic from the general waste, they place it in their recycling bins, and then what happens next? Yeah, mm. This post-consumer waste, some of it is not recycled locally. Like if you find UK, they had this really huge recycling and all that, and they were very surprised to find that, you know, whatever they had been putting in their recycling bin is actually ending up in dump sites in developing countries like Malaysia.
Yeah,
we have had our media from UK, US and all that. And they, when we go around the landfills or these illegal dump sites, they find waste from their country there.
From England, from...
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is really... So this actually shows this broken recycling system. So what we need is, and there's also another issue, not all plastics can be recycled, yeah?
Yeah.
They cannot be recycled safely also due to their toxic additives. So the industry must be required to disclose the additives in the plastic to end this toxic recycling. And there's also a need to phase out whatever plastics that are really challenging to recycle.
Mm. Definitely. And, you know, I was reading the Break Free from Plastic. They just did their brand audit. And that, of course, is an annual citizen action initiative, right? That involves counting and documenting the brands on plastic waste found in communities across the globe. So they revealed their report, their brand audit recently, and also revealed the world's top plastic polluters. Can you maybe walk me through briefly some of the findings from this year's audit?
Yeah, so in for the brand audit started in 2018. So in 2020, there were like 14,734 volunteers that registered, and in 55 countries, yeah, to conduct 575 brand audits.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So in total, these volunteers, they collected nearly 350,000 pieces of plastic waste, and 60. Because sometimes we have also carried out brand audits last year.
Right.
But we find that not all of it has a clear consumer brand. Yeah, some of it, you know, we did our cleanup in a coastal area, and some of it you can't really see the brand anymore. So right. 63% of the plastics collected this year's brand audit, they found had a clear consumer brand.
Okay.
And then the top 10 global polluters, first was Coca-Cola, second PepsiCo, Nestle, Unilever, Mondelez International, Mars, Procter & Gamble, Philip Morris International, Colgate Palmolive, and Perfetti One Mill. I think this must be an European brand.
Brand, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, that's really bad, right? And if I'm correct, the 2020 top global polluters kind of remain remarkably consistent with previous brand audits?
Yes, Coca-Cola, Nestle and PepsiCo, they remain the top three global polluters every year since the first global brand audit was conducted in 2018.
So I guess, you know, what can we do, especially us as consumers, you know, I mean, can we demand better practices from corporations to kind of make them reduce the amount of single-use plastic that they produce?
Yeah, like the Break Free from Plastic movement, which the Consumer Association of Penang and also Sabah Alam Malaysia is a member of, we're calling companies to urgently reduce the amount of single-use plastic that they use. Yeah, and their call is also for the top polluters to reveal how much single-use plastic they use. Then they should have to set clear, measurable targets for reducing the quantity of single-use plastic items that they produce. Finally, they also must reinvent their product delivery system to move beyond single-use plastics altogether. But for us in Cap and Sam, because we do not subscribe to Coca-Cola and these are all junk food. What we are promoting is mindful consumption. You don't consume that, so you don't purchase products from Coca-Cola. So all this processed food and junk food, they all come with single-use packaging. So stop using that.
Okay, so I guess, you know, I mean, what would your advice be? Just reduce single-use plastic as much as possible. Just don't use.
Don't use. So be mindful on what you are purchasing and what you are consuming.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, you know, and I guess, you know, it really needs a concerted movement from consumers, you know, because they're the ones that are going to really impact, you know, how corporations decide on how they produce things, right? Because if people don't make noise, I suppose they're just going to carry on doing it, isn't it? So we really need to have our voices heard as well.
Yes.
Okay. Any last message that you'd like to leave us with, Magis? So,
actually, this brand audits, that is why the Break Free from Plastic movement is also carrying out this brand audits. Because when you go out and pick up your rubbish and then you see what is there, you know, who is producing this much of waste and then why we should stop doing it. Like for last year, we did our brand audit with school children. A few hundred students from Convent Butterworth joined in the brand audit. And we did a coastal cleanup for one hour. We collected a few tons of rubbish, and this also included cigarette butts and all these plastic bottles. And so the students can see what is ending up in their ocean, in the sea and the coastal area. And we hope that they will change their mindset. They will stop consuming all this processed and junk food, and also stop purchasing products which are packed in single-use plastics. Yeah.
Definitely.
So this will promote some behavioral change. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, 2021 is coming up, and you know, everybody, you know, following the pandemic is saying we need to really build back better. So hopefully people are more conscious and more aware of things, and you know, hopefully 2021 is a better year, you know, when we really start demanding better from you know, from our leaders, from our corporations, you know, decision makers. We, the people, really need to start demanding better decisions.
Yes. Power is with the people.
Thank you so much, Magis, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Magiswari Sangralingam. She is a Senior Research Officer at the Consumers Association of Penang. She's also an Honorary Secretary of Sahabat Alam Malaysia. And we were discussing the huge plastic problem that is plaguing the, well, basically the whole globe. But of course, we looked at Malaysia. And I guess, you know, if you'd like to find out more, you can always head to Sahabat Alam Malaysia's website. You can also head to CAP's website. Maybe you can share the CAP's website with us.
Okay, we had just restructured our CAP website. It's www.consumer.org.my. And also, we are restructuring Friends of the Earth Malaysia's website. And this will come on probably next year.
Okay.
So, address is foemalaysia.org.my.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Magis. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can always search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You can also download our podcast at Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.